I think I mentioned, at least at one point over these years, Walter Kaiser is a theologian, taught preaching, very able writer and all that sort of thing, and was very much a proponent of sort of exegetical preaching, where you take the text and then you expand it. And he said, there's nothing wrong with preaching the occasional topical sermon, as long as you get down on your knees and ask forgiveness afterwards. I was thinking of that when I looked at the text and the time of year. And Epiphany is an unusual service for those of us who didn't grow up with it. And as I was thinking of all these things, I thought maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea for us to take just a brief look at what's happening all over the place in this whole New Year's resolution thing. And I remember once in one of the worst pieces of scriptural exegesis ever, where somebody was talking about resolutions and how we shouldn't make resolutions or anything like that, because it says in the Bible you should let your yes be yes and your no be no. I thought, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions. In the Bible we see all kinds of examples of resolution, not least of which is Jesus setting his face like a flint to go to a place and wasn't about to be turned back in a example of resolve, which is what we're looking at. Is there anything wrong with making resolutions? The answer is no. There's nothing wrong with them. You can make a bad resolution, but the making of it itself is not a problem. As a matter of fact, this is the place where, as church people, as Christian people, we can resolve to deal with things that, you know, that need to be fixed. We do it this time. We don't do it at Lent, as I've told you before. Lent is not the time to give up overeating. Lent is altogether different. But at the beginning of the year, where did this whole idea of resolutions come from? And I think it comes from this whole idea of newness. It's a new year. It's an opportunity for us to start again. And we have lots of these opportunities in our lives and throughout the year. A new school year for all kinds of students is an opportunity for them to resolve to work harder, or perhaps to be more engaged in the community of the school, wherever that might be. Many people, on the occasion of their wedding anniversary, will look at sort of where they are, and then they'll see about what they can do together to make their marriage even better. For some people, this is very formal. For some, like a man of my acquaintance, on their anniversary, he and his wife go out for a nice, quiet dinner, nothing more than that. And at some point during the evening, he will look at her and say, "Are we still okay?" And she'll say, "Yes." And then they know. Then he knows that they're doing all right, and another year is coming, and we'll be good. The beginning of the new year is a time when resolutions are sort of the norm, to the point where when you go back to work after the New Year's holidays, frequently people ask you, "So what's your resolution? Is it to get in better shape? Is it to exercise more? Is it to lose weight? Is it to gain weight?" For some of the people I work with who have those high metabolisms, what might it be? Well, what should our resolutions be? When we look at who we are and God's call upon us, what might we resolve to do for another year? Because one of the interesting things about resolutions is that they're always about improvement, about making things better. And often, not always, but often, they're taking something that's good already and taking it to the next level. I read a fascinating blog article about someone who last year, remember last year was a leap year, resolved to read 366 books over the course of the year. So this is obviously someone who reads already and decided he wanted to go, as a man, wanted to go to the next level, and accomplished it, as at least he was on schedule to accomplish it. He wrote the blog in late December. And he talked about what it meant and how it worked. And he said the interesting thing is that for most people, and of course he's talking about people like him, we're reading all the time already. It's just we're reading Facebook, or we're reading Twitter feeds or were reading blog posts or something else. He said what he did is he just took the discipline of reading those things and turned it into reading books. And he said, oh, some of them were short and some of them were just casual fiction. Some of them were a little bit more than that. But he said it just changed how he looked at things, which was very interesting for him because he insisted that for himself that this wouldn't cause any problems at home, to the point where he didn't mention it to his wife until he'd been trying it for 6 weeks. And he said, you know, have I been falling behind on my responsibilities? Because a resolution that is good in one area but bad in another isn't really helpful. And for him, it seemed to turn out pretty well. He said he stopped playing video games and started reading about the people who make video games, which he said was just as interesting, just as absorbing, just as much fun. That's an example of someone taking what they already do and then doing it more so. Now, a book a day is perhaps a little excessive unless you're in the middle of your PhD, where apparently that's about what you end up doing towards the end. Only there you're not reading, you know, Sue Grafton's Some Letter Is for Something Else murder mystery. You're reading things considerably more complex. But what kinds of things can we do? And the beginning of a new year is not a time, at least I hope it's not a time for us to look back and almost despair at the year before. It's a good time to take a clear-eyed look at 2012 in this case and say, like, what worked well and what didn't work so well? Where did I see growth in myself and where didn't I? Perhaps even saw some regression in some places. And for most of us, probably all of us, I think we look back on 2012 as a pretty good year with some things we could have done better. And as we look into 2013, what are some of those things that we could do better? One of the things I'm always concerned about when people make resolutions, either at the beginning of a year or at the beginning, you know, the birthday or whatever else, is setting impossible goals for yourself. There's nothing wrong with a goal that stretches you, but impossible is just demoralizing. And trying to walk that line between what you can do and what you're able to do and what it would just be nice if you could do, it can be difficult for lots of us. Because what we tend to do is we tend to look back, review our lives, pick the very best time for whatever it was we think we should do, that sort of peak moment, and say, well, I should be able to do that again, neglecting to realize that perhaps you're 30 years older than you were then, that maybe you have children and a spouse, neither of which you had before, all kinds of things. And I ran into this myself fairly often, and if I'm not careful, I'll look back to those years in Bible college when I lived in residence, somebody else cooked my meals, I had no responsibilities other than being a student, really, and hopefully a reasonably decent human being. And so I read lots of good things and, you know, had a prayer life that was significantly more disciplined than what I have now and longer, and I could read the Bible more and all that. And if I'm not careful, I'll look at that and say, well, I should be able to do that now. Well, no, I shouldn't. I have a full-time job. I have Heather and the girls. I have responsibilities that I couldn't even imagine back then. So if my resolution is to be more engaged with Scripture, I need to look at it for what is now. And if your resolution is something along that line, you need to look at where you actually are and say that a resolution needs to make you a better person. Not a crabby one who doesn't feels you never have enough time, but rather to look at those things that we see through Scripture and say, which of these can I work on? Maybe it's only one. Maybe it's a few. I don't know. But if we're looking for resolutions, if we're looking for possibilities of things that we could do, I think it's a good idea for us to start with what we already know about ourselves. And so when we look at ourselves as Christian people, that we have a relationship with God through Jesus, what are some of the things that we can guarantee about that? Well, we can guarantee that we have the fruit of the Spirit within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all in us. But I love the image that Paul uses of fruit. It's a growing thing. It's an organic thing. And maybe we look at that list in Galatians 5 and we say, you know, this year I really need to work on gentleness or perhaps self-control or whatever it might be, and just say, this is something that of course I do already, but I could do a little bit more. One of the things that we all get, as well as the fruits of the Spirit, are spiritual gifts. There's something that the Holy Spirit has put within us that is our gift to the church, to our community, to the world. And spiritual gifts aren't always the easiest thing to identify. And lots of people tend to dismiss some things that are obviously spiritual gifts because they don't seem to be important or flashy or anything like that. But if your spiritual gift is the gift of helping, then you need to be aware of that. You need to think of the fact that when you help, whatever it might be, things go better than you would expect. Because that's what a spiritual gift does. It takes your talents, your abilities, your inclinations, and then they're even more than that, as they're imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit as well. All of us can be helpful, and all of us are. But we all know some of those people that when they come to help out, things work more smoothly, they're more efficient, they're more enjoyable. Everything's better because it's a spiritual gift that's being exercised. The spiritual gift of teaching is more than just preparation. There's something that happens when people have that gift, where when they teach, you learn in a different way or a better way than it seems with almost anyone else. Whatever your spiritual gift or gifts might be, hardly anybody only has one, maybe that's what you want to look at this year. Maybe your resolution this year is just to spend more time figuring out exactly who you are in Christ. Not in some kind of strangely introspective way. Not in a way that necessarily requires you to go on a 30-day retreat or who knows, whatever. Probably be lovely if you could make it work. But if you can't, maybe it's a year to just spend some time pondering, perhaps while you're driving, while you're taking a shower, wherever you think well, about what it means that you have been selected by God since before the beginning of the world to be in a relationship with Him. And what does that free you up to do in ways that you hadn't considered before? You don't have to make resolutions, of course, and that's where the sermon title comes from. Resolutions, anyone? You don't have to make them. You don't have to tell them to anybody. Actually, there's a growing body of literature. People actually do like scientific study on this about goal setting and goal achieving. And the more people you tell about what you're going to do, for the most part, when it comes to setting goals, the less likely you are to be effective and successful. If your goal is to remove bad habits from yourself, the more people you tell, the more likely you are to be successful. If you want to give up, well, the most one a very, very common New Year's resolution, if you want to quit smoking, you tell absolutely everybody, so they won't give them to you. So they won't make it easy for you. They'll actually make it difficult for you to do that. But for some of these other things, as it turns out, the best way to make them is to keep it quiet to yourself or perhaps to one other person or a couple of other people. And the resolutions you make, if you choose to make them, are those kinds of things that can very easily become part of your spiritual life. We tend to think of resolutions as being out there, things that are just sort of obvious to everyone. They're a very, almost a secular kind of thing. Losing weight, getting more exercise, giving up a bad habit, creating a new and better habit, whatever it might be. But we can resolve to become people of prayer, which doesn't really show up quite the same way that losing 60 pounds does. But it will show up eventually, of course. And if we choose to make resolutions, we're going to be putting ourselves in the same category as all kinds of people in the Bible who have determined to do one thing or another, who have made vows before God that they will accomplish a particular thing. Resolutions aren't exactly like vows, but there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of the beginning of a new year to say, you know, last year I did this pretty well, but I think I could do it better, whatever it might be. And I'd like to look at that for this year and see if I can do that a little more frequently. I know at least one person whose resolution was to be less late, because they knew being on time was a little bit too much for them. To go from where they'd been to that was just too big a step. So they determined to be less late. And it worked. And they became less late, and eventually they started ending up on time. Like, lots of the time. Don't be too concerned if your resolution, if you choose to do such a thing, isn't big. The idea is to move forward in positive direction. To look at ourselves in light of our relationship with God and the relationships that we're in. Say, what is it that I can do that will make me better this year? Or this month? You can have a resolution every month if you want. There's no particular set of rules for these, which is nice. The making of resolutions, of thinking carefully about who we are and where we are and where we want to be next, it can be a spiritual discipline. Reviewing our progress to this point and deciding in consultation with God what we should do next. Very much a spiritual discipline. A chance for us to become even more the people that we were created to be. To accomplish the things that God has placed for us to do, because we're the only ones who can do them. Because of our unique blend of experience, talent, interest, and gift. So if you choose to make resolutions this year, that's wonderful. You don't have to, but if you do, do it with a good heart, knowing that while there's no particular scripture about New Year's resolutions, there are lots about resolving to do what needs to be done. As we move into a new year, my prayer for all of us, as it is for every year, is that this will be the best year yet. That we'll see new things about ourselves, about God, about the people around us, and then we'll look back at the end of 2013 and say, wow, what a year. Amen.